Hello and welcome back to the Allegro podcast. It's been a while since I last said that. Last episode I recorded was in high school, and now I'm actually in my freshman year of college. You know, a few weeks ago I was scrolling through Spotify and I really just felt like starting the podcast back up again. Besides the obvious change in my location, this shift from high school to college has brought me so many new experiences, both inside and outside of the running world, which I really hope to bring to the podcast now. With that being said, let's get into the episode. In today's episode, I talk to Tim McInerney. Tim is currently a track and field student athlete at Georgetown University, specializing in mid-distance. Just going over his running career at a broad scale, in high school, Tim was a runner at the well-known Christian Brothers Academy in New Jersey. At CBA, Tim collected several state and national titles. Flash forward a few years, as a Georgetown runner, Tim has run 1:48 for 800 meters. In today's episode, Tim and I talk about his running journey from high school to college, his experience as a student athlete at Georgetown, combat sports, his podcast called Hills and Twos, and much more. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Allegro.
Allegro.
Like a mess.
All right, Tim, thank you so much for joining this episode of the Allegro podcast. To start off this episode, I know like every podcast starts with this, the how'd you get into running, but I know hearing you talk on other podcasts, I feel like you got a unique start. I've heard some high jump things in there. Can you talk a little bit about how you started getting involved in running?
Yeah, I was a high jumper, like you said. I grew up playing soccer, basketball, baseball. Running was probably my least favorite, but I would do it on weekends just to kind of do it for my school. And I was pretty good at it, but I didn't care about it at all. And like, I definitely quit a lot of times when it got hard. I played soccer the fall of my freshman year of high school. I went, was going to try out for basketball. Tall guy for a freshman, and I liked basketball, and I was probably gonna try to play baseball after that. And then my homeroom teacher talked me into high jumping, ran a 400 time trial to my own dismay, against my will. The first day of practice, it went well, and then missed the bus to go to a meet and ran the 8 as like a punishment, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it wasn't. No, I think I had a hurdle that day as a punishment, and then I was running the 8 too, but I didn't want to run it. And it was a freshman sprint medley at Ocean Breeze, and there were too many freshman teams in the race that they switched the order, which is so weird. So the 8 led off, and I just ran for dear life. And then after that, I kept running distance because it went all right. So here I am.
Yep, dang, right. That's awesome. So I mean, I bet so many people mention this. I know I've heard you mention this on some podcasts, and it's kind of funny, but you know, you ran at CBA. I was at dinner with some friends in the dining hall, and we were mentioning like planning workouts for like spring break and everything. And I was talking about like maybe like let some guys go in front and then like 10 seconds later start. And then one guy who's I was eating with, Dalton, was telling me like, oh, like that CBA workout video that they dropped, like that flow track video with Blaze Farrow. And I mean, it's kind of
Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, we all know CBA is such a good school for distance running. Can you talk a little bit about your time running there?
Yeah, it was really fun. 4 years that felt really long, but at the same time, really short. I didn't like fully kind of go all in on distance until I was a sophomore. My junior and senior, like I had I had a pretty good year sophomore year, and then my junior and senior year were just kind of, they were the fun years. Yeah, it was really fun. I loved the coaches. I loved how competitive the team was. There's so many guys. My little brother's doing it right now at CBA. And he's a freshman, and I'm pumped for him that he gets to have that experience. They're getting all brand new facilities. They just got a brand new track. Yep. They got a new track house right now. So they're living it up while we were slumming it back then, which is probably a really crappy thing to say when you went to a school that charges the amount of tuition that CBA charges, saying we're slumming it, but our track was not the best, and we loved it. But, yeah, it was a great time. I loved it.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever, like, I pulled up to like Manhattan Invite, and CBA was there. It was always going to be something big.
Yeah, that was the fun part, but at the same time, it was like, it is a weird high school experience that every time you race, it's like win and win impressively is the standard. So
yeah,
like we'd have there were a lot of races where some freshmen would like come up to you after I got like kicked down by someone in a race I shouldn't have lost, and I got outkicked, not kicked down, and some freshman was like, "Great job!" And I think I threw my spikes against the wall.
Jeez, yeah.
And the kid took a step back, and someone like said something to him, like, "Yeah, I wouldn't talk to him right now."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's fun, but it was definitely stressful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I went to Radix camp.
Really?
Yeah, one summer, and got a little glimpse of like, you know, the training, the coaching philosophies, the team culture of CBA. And I'm just curious, what do you think it was about like that team that made you guys so successful?
I think, a really big part of it's the coaches. So the training was really smart. Like, not that much has changed in my training from then to now.
Okay.
Maybe just more, like, guys do more mileage, but our structure is definitely pretty similar. And that's what I noticed about a lot of the good guys in high school, like even Shea or a bunch of other guys I knew coming up. There were more than that you thought that trained in a way similar to college kids, and that's why they were good. And then other guys were just really naturally talented, running like 20 miles a week. But I think definitely a big part was the training, the coaching staff. Another part was just the legacy. Like, there was a standard. So there was never a thought like some other sports at some other schools would be like, we're just, or even our school, we're like, you know, making it to the Final Four of the state tournament or like the Elite Eight of the state tournament, like that's an accomplishment, or winning your division. Like, winning our division was something we would do with our freshman and JV team.
Yeah.
Like, so it was just, there was a standard. So there were expectations, like I said earlier, going and everything, there were good expectations. And then just having so many guys to compete with, like, it makes the lower guys better, which then makes the middle guys better, which then makes the top guys better, because everyone just kind of works their way up that ladder. So I think that was definitely it, just having a ton of guys to train with who had different specialties.
For sure. I can definitely see that. I mean, like, you talk about that streak that's been going for decades, I believe. Like,
yeah, 1973. I think we're going to hit 400 next year, I think they're trying to.
You guys run against bots?
No, we're not running against bots, Shay. Keep it quiet.
No, that's great. That's so impressive. Like, I can't even, like, that's just such a high number. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's great. So I think they're trying to, I don't know what the schedule allows for next year. I remember being around there, and there was some discussion about, like, if they can schedule it so 400 dual meets in a row can be hit next year. I think it's possible. If not, it would be the year after.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, like, there's a New Jersey runner in high school. I'm curious to hear, what's your favorite place to run in New Jersey?
I really like just running from home. I love where I'm from. I'm like 30 minutes south of CBA, 25 minutes south of CBA.
Okay.
South, like, east, so I'm pretty easy to the beach. If I take it pretty straight, I'm at the beach in less than 2 miles. So it's like, I'm at like 12 minutes by the time I get down there, it's perfect. So then, you know, I get to run along the beach for a while. So I really love just running from my front door. In terms of places that people go, like, I was so fortunate at CBA to have all of the parks around CBA that you just run out of our main street and you're in Thompson Park, and then you can get to Homedale Park and you can get to a bunch of different places.
For sure.
So that was just like, running from there was always an asset. Homedale, like, no matter how much it sucked, was I loved it, and we were just there so frequently that it just kind of stopped sucking at some point.
Yeah.
But I think other than just running out of my front door, there's Allaire State Park is in Wall. That's only like a 5-minute drive from me. And I have my own little back trails that go around that I've kind of finagled a nice little loop out of with some local guys from where I'm from that went to some other schools that I really like it. It's quiet back there. No one's back there. It's behind an old children's psychiatric ward.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Abandoned.
I'm right by a psychiatric hospital. I don't know if you've raced at Greystone Park.
Yeah. I know where that is.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah. That was, what was that meet called? It wasn't Roxbury. No, it was NJCTC.
Yeah. We're Roxbury is close too. We start the season there. But yeah, NJCTC. That was right after our sectional race or something. I remember seeing you guys there.
Yeah, we'd go watch we'd usually send like our second seven, to race there because it's like the week before states for us or something. So we'd usually go send them and then we would go watch. And I went on some runs up there. I think we found our way towards the psychiatric ward there.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I mean, I had Devin Hart on a few years ago. Like,
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've yet to have a New Jersey runner on here who I've, like, who's from, like, North Jersey, who, like, can talk about, like, the same roots as me, because you guys are all running by the beach and everything, and I'm, like, out here living on a mountain, like, it's totally just different, but the runs there are so cool.
Where would you run? Where would you go run in Jersey?
I mean, I'd say a really nice spot, Columbia Trail,
I've heard, I've heard about that. Jackson, you know Jackson Barna?
Yeah, yeah.
One of my teammates here, I think he's run there.
Yeah, Columbia Trail's nice. Greystone Park, I mean, it's like a warm-up run. Like, running at Greystone, I normally do, like, run 3 miles there, then do, like a workout there. So that's super close, which is nice, because it was also, before, like, they changed the course, but that used to be the state course. So it was nice getting that practice there. Greystone, Columbia Trail, all these, I feel like New Jersey were just blessed with all these good running spots.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
How's the Georgetown, like, that running? I think I heard, who did I hear? Sean Brosner or someone on a podcast talking trash about Georgetown. Like,
I did. Trust me, I heard that. I think we responded to that in ours, but I don't even think we put the episode out. I responded to that in. It's way better than you think, for sure. Towpath's pretty nice. Bunch of parks within driving distance and a bunch of nice spots within driving distance, but the towpath goes forever. Monuments are nice on occasion, but there's way more options than you think. There's the Custis Trail, there's Military Roads, nice hard hilly 10-mile loop. There's so many more than you think, because Virginia, I mean, you just a quarter mile from Virginia right now, so you run into Virginia and you get a lot of open good running. And yeah. Loudoun County is a 40-minute drive away. That's great, like rolling dirt roads, but there's so much from the door, than so much more than people think. Like, you can get to just from the door, especially in Georgetown.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just seeing on Strava, like, the routes always look nice. And, I mean, like,
they are, yeah.
Seeing, like, Spencer Brown's, like, videos, like, and even your guys' videos, like, from, like, on Hills and Twos, whenever you drop one of those, the routes and everything look nice. So I didn't really get what Sean Brosnan was saying, but, yeah.
Yeah, we were just like, what is that comparison? Plus, the running in LA is so bad.
Yeah,
it's not
speaking
from a great standpoint. But like, we had some guys that transferred from there, and they would just say they ran on turf like every time. It was that or just like running the city, which was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Atlanta, college in Atlanta. So I don't know if you watch like the trials of the 2020 marathon, it's pretty hilly.
Yeah, yeah.
We have this nice Piedmont Park, which is, like, Central Park, basically, of Atlanta, which is nice grass loops and, like, some gravel loops. And then, like, you'd have to drive if you're getting, like, a gravel trail or something. But, yeah, it's pretty much just city running. But I don't think it's too bad.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess transitioning to Georgetown, we talked about the roots there. But I remember watching your commitment video when you made that, you posted on Instagram.
That made a lot of people mad. That made so many people mad.
That was like, oh man, I was a freshman when I watched that, and like, just getting exposed to like these fast New Jersey kids and everything. I saw you putting on like, I think it was Stargazing, like that was the soundtrack. So,
yeah, it was.
Yeah,
yeah,
just,
it was.
That got like, it's funny to admit it, but like, that got me hyped, like seeing all.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but I mean, what went into your decision to run study at Georgetown? Curious to hear about that recruiting process and everything.
First and foremost, I wanted to go to a really good school. I wanted to graduate and be like super proud of the degree I got and take advantage of the opportunity and the options that I had at the time. So that was definitely a big factor. I love my coach, Coach Brandon Bonzi. So he was a really big factor in that decision. And then, you know, I wanted to be on a good team, and the team that we had a lot of mid-D potential, and a lot of the good, like, East Coast miler type guys were going here. So, yeah, that was it. Truthfully, I had a horrible visit, and I didn't want to come here after. And then, yeah, ended up just, like, kind of considering everything, and I was like, let's do it. So here I am, 4 years later now.
Awesome,
crazy.
Awesome. Yeah, so when you, like, think about Georgetown, like, it's known, like, present day, obviously, being a mid-D powerhouse with all of your guys' Penn Relays, performances, individual performances, but even if you look back in like the history books, you know, like people like Rich Kanaa, Atlanta Track Club
My
guy.
elementary school coach, or my elementary school coach's husband,
Oh,
Rich
whoa.
Kanaa.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, John Gregorick, Emily Infeld, all these like legends in the sport of track and field. Do you ever look towards that history when you're like running, going through campus or anything? I'm curious if you ever just think about like all the people who have stepped foot on, you know, the track, the campus.
Yeah, definitely. We had a cool little area where it's got pictures up and descriptions of everyone who's been like on Team USA or run for their respective country from the program and all like the old awards. So it's definitely really cool coming to like a historical distance program, especially coming from one. Like that was to answer your previous question too. That was definitely probably part of a factor. Like I wanted to go somewhere that had some history that would be difficult to live up to, if that made sense. So kind of would make the experience similar.
For sure.
So yeah, I mean, to simply answer your question, I definitely do. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, I mean, going flashing forward to present day, when you talk about the team culture, how is that currently going? I know, I love how like whenever you're, I heard you on Derek Rubis's pod, you're talking about like your teammates, and I love how much you guys emphasize like your teammates and everything. Like you're talking about Parker Stokes and everyone. Can you talk about that team culture that's going on right now in DC? I'm curious to hear about that.
Yeah, here, that's one of them right there.
What's
Say hi. He's trying to make me laugh back here right now.
up,
It's not cool, man.
It's funny
It's
because
really
in the
not cool.
podcast recording, they like they make the video recording like super blurry. So am I clear right now? Because for you, you're like
Yeah.
it's like pixels. Like,
Oh, sorry.
no,
Yeah,
it's
you're
not.
pretty
It, I
clear.
think it's just because they do it to like keep the just
The
don't.
quality.
Yeah, they don't
Yeah.
want to mess anything up, but yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean it's great. I love just like I said, it's the same experience just having a ton of really good guys and just being able to have guys that push you every day is really cool and similar to something I came from, so I think I'm kind of used to it, so it's nice.
Yeah, definitely. So do you guys work out on that like that track that is that like the home track that where you guys are in like I think lane 3 or something?
What do you say? I'm sorry?
So like I've seen on videos like that track that you guys run workouts on, it's
Yeah.
like so that's like the home track.
Yeah, it's like 300 something meters. It's like the same distance that CBA's barn actually was.
Oh, okay. I've heard stories about that barn, yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. So it's 3 laps to a K if you do it in lane 3, which is what we do. So I
Okay.
love it. People like, not people here, but other people are like, you don't have a full track, all that stuff, but
Gets the job done.
yeah.
Definitely.
I don't care at all. The only thing is just we can't host meets, which does kind of suck, but at the same time, like if you host meets, you host like one a year, maybe a couple a year, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in high school, we had like our track was 6 lanes, so we couldn't even have it. We didn't have any like besides dual meets, we didn't have any like big invitationals or anything, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear about like so we talked about hills and twos a little earlier on, and then just like the running media side of things. I feel like that's just a huge topic in every podcast. Like, oh, the media, new gen, every like new wave, like this whole new wave of running. So I know I mentioned Spencer Brown earlier, Athlete Special, his videos. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like there was this little time. Did you have a like channel with some of the Georgetown guys called like Boyos or something?
Yeah, oh my God, that's such a deep cut pull. No one's brought that up before. Yeah, there's what, one video, right? Yeah, there's one video of me doing a workout on
It
turf.
was so bad.
That was like the original idea at first. And the video was bad. Shay like took the camera out from our library as like a loner.
Oh,
And it
okay.
was the last night I was here before like Christmas break or something and worked out. Yeah, that was like a basic thing because we did a takeover on Spencer's channel and like
Yep,
people
yeah.
commented like more of this or something like that, but yeah, we just like never went in on it, and then yeah, I don't know, I had the idea for Hills and Twos, went to Shay, and like I said earlier, here we are now. But yeah, we did
Yeah.
have that. That's a good poll there. I like that.
Yeah, no, I remember I was thinking about like, all right, hills and twos, what's the evolution? And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that. Like the turf workout, you were t wearing like some super shoes or something. I was like, dang,
Yeah,
that's way way in the
switched out.
archives.
Yeah. That's out there somewhere. Probably if you just YouTube search my name, that's out there. But yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, talking about that channel, Hills and Twos, what's like the goal that you guys are going for by creating this content and like exposing the Georgetown running team?
I think in terms of the podcast, we wanted to do something different, like like make it less of an interview style and more of like a just kind of kickback conversation aspect, like in terms of the podcast, because like everyone we have on is, you know, gets asked the same questions a lot and stuff, and there's like every podcast they do, like you can find out the same stories and stuff. So we were just like, let's sit back and do something different. So, you know, we incorporate the little games and stuff. We did a fun one with Eric Sawinski 2 days ago with a new game that was got a little out of hand, so that was pretty fun. But I don't know, with the podcast, we'd like to kind of push it as far as we try to, given on what like the guests will give us, if that makes sense. So there's definitely been a lot that's had to be deleted and a lot of stuff that will never air publicly. So we kind of just, in that sense, we push that as far as we can. Enabled, like, in order to get the highest quality product out of that and make something enjoyable. In terms of the videos, fortunate enough that Shay is really good at making those.
Yeah, I saw the video that you just put on your Instagram. That was so sick. Like, tell Shay that was
Yeah,
awesome.
that was just a, like, we couldn't sleep type of thing, and we're just skating around, and he just ended up filming and just edited it together super quickly. That song was just like this song I put on the speaker that was in my backpack in that video, so it just kind of worked. But yeah, in terms of like the videos, we've wanted to, I think our general idea is make something that's pretty to look at rather than like a here's my workout, here's my split type of video. Like there's so many of those, and we're all doing the same stuff, man. Like everyone's doing the same workouts or variations of the same workouts, so like. When guys are like, and we've done it before where we posted the splits, but I think we're staying away from that. Kind of in this era of what we're doing now. So we've been making more video content, but we just filmed two podcasts, filming a couple more soon. So we're kind of venturing back into that. And then I'm trying to get into some kind of thing of a news type show. So just still kind of formulating that and setting it up. But that'll be style, just like objective running news, like any primetime news show you'd turn on a big news channel, and they except do it objectively, like actually objectively.
Yeah, that's awesome,
Yeah, so you know, if there's a debate going on in running, I have two people on from either side, that type of thing, and just try to poke holes in what everyone's saying, and just a more of a give it to you straight type of show. And if you want my opinion or Shay's opinion, go listen to the podcast then. But yeah. So in terms of media, it's just you know, a few different kind of pools we're tipping into right now, and just we know it's going to take a while to grow, and part of its growth is also dependent on our like results. Like I've said it before on other podcasts, like you know, Coffee Club is such a big podcast because the runners on it are really good too.
Yeah, they're
So
killing it.
that's kind of at the forefront of everything we're trying to do, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious if are you a consumer of any content? Like, I mean, it doesn't even have to be in the running world. Like, do you listen to any podcasts? Curious which ones, if anything.
Yeah, so I go through like my ebbs and flows of consuming running content. There's no one whose podcast right now I really like listen to be honest. Unless something big happens and someone does an interview on something, but at this point we're just trying to get them to come on and do something with us. So like, you know, like why I'm lucky enough to have so many friends like in the running world that are either the people that we're talking about in the news or are people really close to them. So like, I don't know why I listen to the Let's Run podcast about Cooper signing with Bowerman when we could just do one with Cooper, that kind of thing. You know, why
That was
speculate on
sick,
what,
yeah.
yeah, like why speculate on what Craig Engels is doing when we can just get Craig on, that kind of thing, or you know, like,
Such a nice thing about the running community. Like, I mean, I bet it's emphasized with you guys with the connections that you have, but like, I mean, even with my podcast, like just reaching out to a guest, like what other sport could you do it? I mean, I see like Conor McGregor, I think that is in the background. I mean, like, could you do that with him? Like,
Well, someday. I'd rather scrap, to be honest.
yeah,
But
I want to get into that later, but yeah.
but yeah. In terms of non-running content, like that's where I do that a lot. Like running is such a big part of my life, and I've been doing it for so long that it's, to be honest, I don't really like care when people make videos and stuff anymore, which is so bad saying when we do. But like, it just sometimes I need to step back from running at the same
Yeah,
time.
that
You
totally
can't
makes sense.
keep
Yeah.
me. So my reprieve is my content consumption, and that's like I love watching movies. I'll go through phases where I'll watch a movie every day for 2 weeks, like sometimes two maybe, like depending on, you know, homework or stuff like that. I roll through shows. I love that. I post a lot on social media, but to be honest, like don't consume it as much as you would think. Like I think I posted that reel last night and like maybe went on Instagram like one more time, and then I checked it earlier today. I was like, oh, I forgot I posted something yesterday. Like, so I do that way more than people think. Like, 'cause I post stories and stuff all the time. I'm sure people think I probably like live on Instagram. Twitter I like a lot more than Instagram. And
Twitter.
that's definitely part of my content consumption, because if you formulate your Twitter algorithm the right way, you can have some pretty entertaining times on Twitter. So I go to Twitter to make myself happier.
Definitely, yeah, Twitter. I don't ever post on that, but I'm always on Twitter. I mean
If I ever tweet, it's usually pretty stupid or works. So I hate saying it, but sometimes political, but that's just me. I study politics. I can't really, it's tough to stay out of it.
Yeah, what are you majoring in at Georgetown?
Government, which is our version of political science.
Okay,
Yeah.
okay. That's the best place you could study that. I mean,
Yeah,
right in the capital.
yeah.
Awesome. I mean, we just talked about it, but combat sports, you got the poster in the background. You see
I
the
got a
Hills and
bunch.
Twos videos with you boxing always on the boxing bag. I'm curious to
That's
hear
like half a joke. What are you curious to hear?
what's the deal with combat sports? Are you boxing, MMA guy? And
Yeah,
yeah, what do you like about it?
both definitely. I don't know, I just like I like really liked watching it, and then as I got older I was like, why don't I just do it too? So when I moved, I had a lot, I like never had a basement, so my family, we moved my freshman year of college, and then I got sent home for COVID, so then couldn't really do anything, so I just kind of built out a bunch of boxing stuff in my basement, and then just kind of really dove in. And then I got a bunch of friends who are interested in, like, they love watching as well. And one of my best friends comes from a big, long line of boxers, Luke Reed, if you remember him.
Oh,
He
yep.
ran it with me. His dad, all of his uncles, great boxers. His uncle, you can look him up, look up the Shamrock Express, and you'll find one of the best boxing highlight videos of all time. That's my buddy's uncle.
Wow.
And yeah, so we just kind of got really into it. You know, put the headgear on, mouthpiece, a shin guard, and just kind of go at it. I got some friends that are pretty good at jiu-jitsu, some at wrestling, so I've been lucky enough to kind of have some free tutors in that area. But I don't know, I just really like it. And like I said, it's just kind of one of those hobbies, and it's physically, it's not a bad hobby to have, you know, to just help you kind of get that extra little bit of fitness. That's not me saying that I think it makes me fitter at all, but I don't
Yeah,
know, it is a
I mean,
fun.
I respect combat sports a lot. I wrestled for 3 years, did taekwondo for five. Like, I mean, I don't know if you know Dylan
Oh.
Dennis. He went to my high school.
Yeah, I know Dylan.
No,
Yeah, I've
it's
actually
funny
met
hearing him
I
now.
met Dylan. It's so hard to root for him. Like, I loved him when he was coming up because he had this chip on his shoulder, but he's taking it too far. Like,
Yeah.
tweeting out, like, if you like this tweet and John Jones wins, I'll give you 10 grand. Dylan, no, you're not. You're not. He does it every fight. I want to like Dylan so bad. And then he does stuff like gets his ass kicked by a bouncer at a seaside bar. And I'm like, come on.
I remember I was
And he
in
hasn't
sixth
fought
grade.
in years.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade. My wrestling coach was like, yeah, he coached Dylan too. And he was like, yeah, our school record, 7 seconds, pin someone in wrestling. And like, you hear all those stories. And then like, now you see like, I mean, this is niche, but dropping out of like the KSI fight, like tweeting against all these legends of UFC and everything and just saying all this stuff. It's
Yeah, I get that he's chasing exposure, but it's a little too corny right now.
Yeah.
But like I promise you, if you know, I'll probably root for him next time he fights, like as long as it's not someone I like a little bit more. But you know, I'm rooting for him. I want to see him do well, but he's getting older now and he hasn't fought in forever, so.
Yeah. When he gets in the cage, though, I'll definitely be rooting for him. Just cool to see someone from, my area being so successful in the combat world. Yeah, it's cool to see that. But in terms of just that world in general, who do you say your favorite fighter is?
Like, I'll always be a Conor guy, for sure. Without him being active right now. Well, Like, Conor, it's such a layup to say Conor. But, like, I was a young Irish kid who liked the sport of fighting.
Oh,
Like,
yeah, okay.
and That like form, and it was in the middle of Connor's blow up when I was like young and impressionable. So I was like, hell yeah, love this guy. I love Sean O'Malley, which like again sounds so cliche, but like I've been watching Sean O'Malley since he was on the Contender Series when he was like super young before he was big time. Sean O'Malley, this kid from my hometown, he's coming up now. Francis Marshall, Francis the Fire Marshall. So he just signed the UFC, got his first UFC win, mauled a
Oh,
guy.
sick.
I'll be pulling for him, hoping he can make a big run right now. But I don't know. I like watching a ton of fighters, but it's at the point where I like so many fighters for so many different reasons. Like I'll watch guys fight. Like I watched the Usman Edwards fight yesterday, and like I didn't really know who I was rooting for, if that made sense. Like I'm
Yeah,
at
no,
the
that
point
makes
where
sense.
I kind of just appreciate a lot of good fights. I'd
Yeah.
probably have more guys that I like specifically don't like, if that makes sense.
And then I'm in the combat world.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like there's definitely guys that I'll just root against, even if I don't
Curious
particularly
to
like
hear
them.
any of them.
Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, you
Yeah,
know.
are there is Jorge still fighting? Like is
Yeah,
he
he's fighting
fighting?
Gilbert Burns.
Oh, okay.
That's his next fight.
I
In
saw
June.
someone who's trying to get into
I'm
boxing
pretty sure
once.
it's at the Prudential Center
Oh, that's
in New York.
sick.
Pretty sure. I'll check it later. But yeah, I'm trying to think of some other examples. I don't like Cody Garbrandt, I don't like TJ Dillashaw. It's really hard to like a doper. I don't like John Jones at all.
Don't, yeah.
I really don't like John Jones. But yeah, I don't know. There's probably a few more out there. But I don't like Khabib.
Oh, you don't, dang.
I'm not a big Gaethje fan.
Are
Yeah, I don't
you, I mean,
know.
this is going back. Are you chill guy or no?
Yeah, I like Chael.
He's a talker, you gotta like that.
Yeah, he's a funny talker. Like, McGregor is an aggressive talker, but Chael comes up with those funny rhymes. It was Muhammad Ali-esque. Nowhere near the fighting level, obviously, but the like poems he would prepare and then go do were pretty funny. So I respected that.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about those, like some of the guys you mentioned who you liked at least, like Sean O'Malley, Connor, Chael, they're all talkers. Do you think we need, I mean, I can get, based on hearing your podcast, I know what your answer is going to be, but like, do you think we can bring that in the running world? The whole press conference type of thing, talking. I mean, it's hard, right? Because like everyone's so nice in the running world, but I'm just curious
Yeah,
to hear
like
your opinion on that.
it's really easy to say like it could bring so many more eyes, but you need to do it with the right people. Like they do press conferences, they're just not interesting.
Yeah, it's reporters asking people questions, they answer the
Which is
questions.
great. Like the NBA does that, the MLB does that after every game and everything, and I get that. Like
Yeah.
fighting's different. It's when you're trying to hype up a matchup, I think it's necessary. But when you're having like world champ, like it's different. You know, you just need the right people. Like I think the like, and it can't be artificial. It's got to be
Yeah.
genuine, I think. Like it can't
An
be just.
another thing, it's like for these fighting things, like, like Leon versus Kamaru Usman yesterday, like, they're building up to like that's their match, and like with running, it's like
Yeah,
they're
it's
just
not 1v1 matchups like that. So it's
yeah.
like I
And
said,
even if it
anyone.
was 1v1, it's like people just there are multiple races in a season. Like you'll just race and then like go back to training. It's unless it's like for the US title or anything, like the US champs or anything like that. Like it just you can't really compare the two sports. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah. Two completely different animals.
Yeah, I will say though, I think the, like Showtime does the all access thing. I think the running world is on par with that or even better at this point with like all the new media outlets, Sidious Mag,
Yeah, definitely in
where
a grassroots way for sure. Obviously not the big financial backing, but grassroots for sure. Yeah.
yeah. I think the media side of what the sport's doing is really good. Yeah, definitely. Just, wrapping up, I guess, what are you excited about on the track, off the track? I know you got big outdoor season. Georgia Tech just had our first outdoor invite on Friday. What are you looking forward to this season?
Right now, I'm just looking forward to getting really fit, and I don't know when I'm opening up yet. Probably gonna take some time and just get really fit, get to that point. So, I don't know. I'd like as few rust busters, so to speak, as possible. But I'm just excited to race. I just like racing, man. I don't know. I'm trying to beat guys. The
Yeah.
time's come, but I'm just looking forward to being competitive again.
For sure, for sure. Are you You think you're an eight guy, 15? Like, what event are you trying to focus on?
Right now, I'm an eight guy for sure. I think to have longevity in the sport, you got to be versatile and you got to be able to bounce around. But I think I'm at a point in my running career where the focus is on the eight, and for good reason. So that's where I'm at right now. But you know, I did interviews and stuff in high school, and like I was like, I'm a miler, I'll always be a miler. And I think I was just a little too narrow-minded back then, and I was so focused on like one particular mile goal, just winning certain things there, that I was just so locked in on that. But yeah, I just. It's more so just being competitive and whatever it is. I don't care what, if it's the 10K, I don't really care. I
Yeah.
care, but you know.
I'm curious to just learn more about that mindset, you know, like winning. Just Devin talked about it, like he just hates to lose races. What like is do you think that's really what drives you in the sport in terms of competing, just wanting to win, wanting to beat everyone? I mean, it might be like the combat sports side of you. Curious to hear about that mindset.
I don't know if there's a combat sports side of me. I think I'd probably have to, get in the ring a few times in a legitimate sense to do that, and that's not happening anytime soon. It's just something fun I like to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, and I know Devin pretty well, so I think he can relate to this. Like, it's really hard to look in the mirror after you race, especially when, not after you race, like if after you race and you don't win. More so if, like, if it's because you made some mistakes or because you're not fit enough or something like that, it's definitely really hard then. And it's just, I don't know, like, it's cliche, but it's way harder to do that than it feels good to win a race, I'll tell you
When
that.
you
It does feel really good, but you come from high school where like guys like me and Devin were expected to win every time we raced, so you get to college and it's like a wins are few and far between, no matter how good you are, because everyone's just so good. So yeah, it's just kind of that thing. It becomes pretty tough to look in the mirror. So then you don't want to put yourself in that position ever again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Are you like, I'm guessing you're one of those guys who just loves racing, or I'm curious how you think about training too. I we've heard Craig Angles, like he hates training, or at least in the past I've heard that. He's like, running sucks, but like I love racing, I love competing. Where do you think you fall on the spectrum?
To a certain extent, I think no one likes training, and even when people say they do, like, it's fun, but it's like you have to put yourself in positions where it's not going to be fun sometimes.
Yeah.
It's definitely not always going to be fun. I definitely like racing more than training, but depends on what you're doing. Like, it's so easy to feel that way because racing is fun and training is the dirty work you got to put in. But I like a hard workout is really fun, and exposing your weaknesses is fun because it sets you up to get a lot better. So it's necessary. It's,
I love that, yeah.
it's an essential evil.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome mindset to have. Yeah, thank you so much for joining today.
Course.
Super cool talking to you, hearing everything. I mean, there's so many things we could get into more, like just high school itself, I mean college. Like got a lot of good topics in. And excited to see what's to come, you know, the new show you talked about, 800 is the season, continuing hills and twos. I mean, we're excited to see what's coming up.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.